And yes, City Festival is indeed taking place all this month, starting from 2 days ago till about the 23rd or 24th. Lots of cool stuff going on around the city and also out west as well, if you're over there. Here on 2SER, this is The Daily, and we're talking now about the Centrelink debt fiasco, which has put a very muddy start to the new year, with people being sending letters in to prove that they have not defrauded the system and that the debts they have been issued have been unjust and not correct. This morning, we're going to be speaking to digital culture and technology expert Paul Wallbank, who is the author of many books, including Decoding the New Economy, as well as columns on technology. Thank you for joining me, Paul.
Hi, Sam. Good to talk.
So, Paul, I guess the first question here is, as Centrelink is an automated system for all of this, why are Aussie governments so bad at IT?
Well, it's really interesting on this, and I think with this particular scandal, we've got to, and it really is a scandal, we've got to go back to last year's budget, where the big line item in the budget was a $2 billion welfare fraud crackdown. So that was as good as the federal government had to really solve their budget emergency, if you like. So what's really happened here, and this is probably what we're seeing with a lot of these IT projects, is that the minister or the senior public servants have come up with an idea and said, okay, we can get technology to fix this. And so I said, right, we can save $2 billion. And the treasurer was saying that there was an estimated $3.4 billion in outstanding welfare payments that they could claw back. Now, no one really seems to have any idea where this number has come from. But obviously, the public servants have been told, find a way of getting to that number. And they've used technology to go out and do it. And I think that's what we're really seeing with this, is that we're seeing all of these things like the census, for instance, where the debacle around that really happened because the ABS, the Bureau of Statistics, said that they could save all of this money by automating the census and putting it online. And really, they didn't understand what they were doing, and they were really only doing it to keep the minister happy. And I think this is what we're seeing with this. So we're seeing a lot of people trying to keep ministers and senior public servants happy, and this is what happens when you really, rather than looking at what the technology can deliver, you're trying to keep somebody who really doesn't understand what they're doing happy. And keep in mind, too, this happens in the private sector, too.
And Bill Shorten came out and said, this stuff up has delivered a summer from hell for thousands of people who have done absolutely nothing wrong. Do you think this sort of blame idea here is that there is an idea that, well, these people have done something wrong by even being on Centrelink?
Yeah, and that's a bigger cultural issue. I'm more in the tech.
In the tech realm?
Yeah, but we do have this thing where we've bought into this over the last 40 years that if you're on Social Security for whatever reason, then you're deficient in some way. You're lazy, you're addicted, you're irresponsible, you're dissolute, whatever it is. You're not a good citizen if you're on Social Security or welfare. So it's I think this is one of the, and that's a thing that we've seen right across the English speaking world, at least the United States, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, the UK. There's all themes on this that have been running over as long as I've been around. But so I think that's part of that. But they thought it was going to be an easy target too. That rather than using these big data techniques, these data matching techniques to crack down on corporate fraud, it was a lot easier to crack down on the people who don't really have the wherewithal to fight back against organizations like Centrelink.
So with that in mind, Paul, and turning back to the tech aspect, what exactly has Centrelink been doing to figure out these debts? What is data matching? What have they been up to?
Okay, what they've been doing is they've been taking the ATS, the taxation officer's information, which is based on annual income. They've been taking the annual income and averaging that out over fortnightly periods, which is how Centrelink calculates their income. So if you're on Newstart or one of the other allowances, you're really being assessed on a fortnightly basis. So every fortnight you've got to be saying, I haven't received any income, or yes, I've had a part-time job that week, so I received X amount of income, and then Centrelink adjusts your payments down. Of course, what's happened is that by averaging the number over the year from your ATO, your tax return, means if you've had any job on, and this has been particularly brutal for people who've been on various benefits for only part of the year, and then have got a job that's been paying reasonably well, because really most of the payments it's pretty hard to live on them, so you really do want to get a job quickly. And when you do get that job, you are going to be substantially above your payment, what you were receiving from the government. So by averaging it out over a fortnightly period, it comes up that you've owed money over those fortnights where you actually didn't owe any money. So What this is a classic data mismatch. You're using annual figures against fortnightly figures and coming up with the wrong numbers, which really is something that I think probably got picked up very, very early in the process. But again, because senior management in the Taxation Office and Centrelink and, of course, Treasury wanted to get that big number to keep the minister happy, they decided to ignore those warnings from junior public servants and say, hey, let's just run with the number that gets the best numbers in.
And if you're just joining us here, we're talking to Paul Wahlbank, a tech expert, about the Centrelink debt issue. And Paul, is this sort of problem that we're seeing with Centrelink and this sort of reticence to even, you know, address the issue when they noticed it was there, something's going to get worse as big data becomes more common?
Yeah, and this is the sort of thing, and some of the listeners may remember the movie Brazil, Terry Gilliam's movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's... Where somebody's life was ruined because of a typo or a fly speck on a computer printout or a typewriter printout, and that's the sort of thing that we do risk with all of the big data matching that we're seeing at the moment. That increasingly our lives are being monitored, for want of a better word, by a whole range of things. It's not just using your loyalty card at the local supermarket or something like that. As we're getting the Internet of Things rolling out, you've got your car dobbing you in on what you do. You've got your scales telling your insurance company whether your weight's going up or down. And, of course, that loyalty company is gleefully reporting that you're buying too many lollies or donuts or whatever. And so there's that sort of thing. Increasingly, as this gets merged into basically our digital footprints, you can see insurance companies, medical insurance in particular, really coming out on this, and we see many more of these sort of things like Centrelink's debacle happening because of the inappropriate use of data. And as I say, it's not just the private sector. This is the public sector as well. They're just as bad at putting two and two together and coming up with 16 based on the data they've got.
So Paul, moving forward, what can we do as private citizens to protect ourselves and our privacy? Is there much we can do with all this integration?
I think what we've got to do is, first of all, we've got to be very careful about what we share. We have to be really across what our rights are, and with Centrelink, there are a whole bunch of rights there. Unfortunately, a lot of the people who are getting these demands probably aren't the best equipped to exercise those rights or understand the rights that they've got, and so to push back against them. But I think as citizens, we've really got to be equipped on that. I think there's limits on how much we can stop data being collected on us, because as Edward Snowden showed us, there is so much data being collected by us by agencies, and we had this here in Australia with the metadata debates last year, where now we're seeing that metadata, which was all of those laws that were passed, now that metadata that's being collected may well be shared with civil plaintiffs and debt collectors and so on. So increasingly, we're going to find a lot of that data, which we can't really keep out of the hands of these organisations, being shared anyway. So really, we've got to know our rights, and we've got to push for our rights. And I think we've got to push back too on our politicians. That's the real big message out of this, that not using data properly or misusing data shouldn't be tolerated by the taxpayer and the voter. And I think that's really what we should be doing with the Centrelink debacle, is saying to the government that this is not acceptable. And to emphasise this too, this sort of system started under Labor as well, and they've pulled some not dissimilar stunts themselves when they've been in governments, and both at a state and federal level. So it's both of the major parties that we really should be holding to account on this.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Paul, for joining us this morning to speak about it.
My pleasure, Sam.
And that was Paul Wahlbank, a digital culture and technology expert, author of many books, including Decoding the New Economy, speaking about the Centrelink debt debacle that is currently exploding across as people have been issued what they claim to be incorrect debt notices from Centrelink. It's unclear exactly why this is happening, but as Paul said, there's a few guesses out there that seem pretty plausible. The time is coming up to about 25 past 10. Going to be having more stories for you as the morning wears on. And of course, going to continue now with some more music. This is from Kath McCombs, a favorite from last year. This is called Switch on 2SER. This is The Daily, and I am Sam Barron.